him. Catch, touchdown.
Stop it. Stop it. You can't do this. You can't escape. You can't make these plays. You can't make these throws.
Jacobs cutting back. Getting to the edge. Jacobs is in for the touchdown.
I just don't remember anybody doing what this young man has done so far in the league.
It's fourth down and one.
Welcome to Fourth and One. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. Nick, it's a bye week edition. The Chiefs may be off, but we are not taking the week off. We had a lot of Chiefs stuck around town. Some went on vacation, obviously, but Patrick Mahomes was out. Raising almost $250,000 for his foundation, 15 the Mahomes, and Tyrann Mathieu was out in the community hours after his daughter was born, passing out turkeys at a local church. So, how are you spending your bye week, sir? Delving into film study, I assume.
Always doing that. No, I mean that was impressive last night for the. Tyrann Mathieu had quite the busy time there to be able to have the birth of his daughter, and then go hand out 300 plus turkeys to families in the area, and then on top of that, hey, I'm gonna finish off the night with a gala with it looked like I believe it was Blake Bell, Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, Garrett Dieter, and
et al.
Do what?
Et al. And others. It's Latin.
Okay. Well, either way, I mean, there's some Chiefs players out there doing a lot of good in the community.
Did you have somebody there to bid on the silent auction of the speed painting of Patrick Mahomes or anything like that?
No, but that was an impressive thing when I saw that. I was like, my goodness, I can't even trace stuff accurately. this guy's over here just wow.
I just assumed when it got over 50,000 that like, because I thought I saw you on the phone, and so I thought maybe you were secretly bidding, and then when it got above 50,000, you had to back off.
That was actually probably just me placing my order at Wendy's or something. I'll be there.
They take phone
minutes.
Orders now.
I don't know.
Speaking of Wendy's, you should open your Christmas present for me sooner rather than later, because if you wait until Christmas morning, it may not be as delicious.
If it's half as delicious as the other gift that you gave me in the newsroom the other day, that was in the form of some coupons.
Oh, those, okay.
You know,
I'm disappointed that you didn't redeem any of my coupons for free hugs or tickles.
Those will not be redeemed, and I had to end that cycle pretty quickly.
For those who don't know, Nick Jacobs threw away my present to him.
If you want to call that a present, then okay.
One of the guys redeemed a hug coupon, and he seemed to be just fine. He even came in dressed in a shirt and tie today.
That's right. Killer, man. Steve Killer Cow.
So, this is probably a good time, to go over some of the guys, especially on defense, because the big question coming into this year was the defense, and could the defense improve enough to put the Chiefs over the top. I hate to use the word contender because if you remember correctly, the Chiefs did go to overtime in the AFC Championship game after getting shut out in the first half against the eventual Super Bowl champions. I would argue they were contenders last year too. And I would argue that they're still contenders this year, even if people want to label them pretenders, because we've seen what they can do. I've seen some national outlets. They were doing one of those. Are the Chiefs contenders or pretenders because of their defense? And there were some people who perhaps for the sake of, good old-fashioned devil's advocacy were labeling the Chiefs as pretenders because they don't think the defense is as good as Baltimore's or New England's or some of the other top teams in the AFC, which is fine if you want to make that argument. I would argue that you're wrong. And I also did find it rich that they were like, well, they just can't hang with Baltimore. And I'm like, does he realize that they've already played this year and the Chiefs already beat Baltimore once this year? I feel like that should be relevant to that discussion.
I feel like Baltimore is a little bit different of a football team than they were that week. I know they by definition, the Chiefs beat them at Arrowhead, but where Baltimore is at now is a little bit different than where they were.
They're different, but the Chiefs have also beaten them in back-to-back years. I mean, it's not like Baltimore hasn't had a chance to come at them. And it's to suggest that Baltimore would blow Kansas City out of the water, the Chiefs can't compete with Baltimore, is foolish in my opinion. So
I didn't go to that level, but
But that is the suggestion that the Chiefs are pretenders. So, and look, we'll find out coming out of the break. I mean, the Chiefs get the Oakland Raiders in what we expect will be essentially an AFC West championship game in a lot of ways, because whoever wins that game is going to have at least a one game, possibly two game lead in the division. If the Raiders were to lose this week and then lose again to the Chiefs, and then after that. The Chiefs have to go to Boston for another game or something like that. So we'll find out real quick just how good the Chiefs are coming out of the break. But where do you feel like they're at here at the bye? I mean, and in particular, let's start with Frank Clark, because he was the big offseason acquisition. They got rid of a lot of their pass rush and brought him in. He was supposed to be kind of the alpha dog to lead that group. How do you assess his performance so far?
Well, and looking more towards the Los Angeles Chargers game, Clark had his best game as a Chief. It was a very dominant performance by him. It's what he did in Seattle the previous couple of years on tape. So he was able to he blew up the run in a lot of regards. I mean, he set the edge. He got after Phillip Rivers. I know people will say that he's going against some of the backup tackles, and they're not wrong, but you still have to take advantage of those opportunities. I've seen pass rushers for the Chiefs in the past that didn't, even though they were playing backup or third-string pass rushers. So, I mean, I'm not going to discount the performance. You still have to go out there and do it, even if you're not going against what people deem a Pro Bowl level tackle. And he went out and did that. So, and he was a difference maker in the game, and he was getting pressure at the time. I believe three or almost all four of those turnovers happened were because of his pressure and what he was doing.
Yeah, so, certainly contributed to it. Yeah.
So, I mean, and he definitely contributed to two of them, because he literally ripped the ball, ripped the ball out of or smacked his hand to where that ball flooded to where it would almost been the fifth one too. So, I mean, he was a key contributor for those turnovers.
Yeah, and what about Mike Pinnell? Because he's a guy that, they've needed some help, obviously, with the run defense. And I keep going back to it. He's the guy. They kept Joey Ivey active over Mike Pinnell in the one game in the last month that they got absolutely thrashed by the opposing run game. Mike Pinnell was inactive for the Tennessee Titans. Joey Ivey, by the way, not on the Chiefs roster anymore. But Mike Pinnell, is it overstating it to say that he is one of, if not the key figures in the defensive tackle rotation right now?
He's becoming that from a run defensive perspective. He's become very crucial to help rotate in with Naughty and Saunders. Saunders and Naughty are both growing, but at times to be able to keep them fresh and to, help them not get tired, having Mike Pinnell has been huge for them to be able to have a different variety that they can put in there. And he's very effective in run defense. And when you allow him to do that, then that allows especially Saunders, if they need him on some pass rushing downs, he's able to help stay in because he can stay fresh to where they're doing a really good job with his defensive line. And this is something the Chiefs pass rush hasn't had for quite some time and rarely had under Sutton, is they have good depth to be able to stay fresh so that they can constantly continue to rush the passer. Now, if they'd had Okafor and if Ogba wasn't hurt, and they had those guys for that for the Los Angeles Chargers game.
The game in Mexico.
For the Los Angeles Chargers game.
Can we just call them the Southern California Chargers?
We probably could at this point, because they're probably going to move around for a third time somewhere we don't know about.
London Chargers? Yeah,
no, definitely not that one based on Spanos' responses. But they to be able to have eight guys you can rotate in, and the Chiefs were at that. They're kind of down more to six to seven, potentially, depending on their recent pickup of Harris, how he'll be able to do and acclimate to the system. But
Damon Harris, who they signed off the Baltimore Ravens practice squad as a defensive end earlier this week.
So it'll be interesting. But, yeah, they found the right balance overall of how to keep guys fresh and consistently attacking.
Obviously, that's not the only area where, the Chiefs have had some concerns, and you're evaluating some of those concerns. What hope, if any, do you see in the linebacker group?
They can help in run defense.
I mean, is it this situation where you just had to say, channel your inner Dennis Green and say they are who we thought they were.
Well, I mean, with the linebacker group that they have out there, I mean, those get, like I said, those guys can attack gaps. They can come downhill. They had
sometimes they can attack gaps.
Well, they are capable of it. So, I mean, I just think that's when they're in run, that's just what they're going to have to do. And, I mean, they're going to have to accept that some of those intermediate passing routes and some of those passes in the flats, I mean, they're, you know, you're going to get burned by some of those. But to keep teams from running the ball at will, I mean, that's the price you're going to pay, but it's going to pay off.
Yeah. Secondary-wise, Kendall Fuller's been out, but it's created a unique opportunity while he's had the, you know, the thumb injury for Rashad Fenton. And mm-hmm. Fenton was almost, I don't want to say a throwaway sixth-round pick, but he wasn't a guy that was real heralded. He wasn't a guy that necessarily stood out a whole lot in training camp. He wasn't a guy that, you know, you're looking at and you're saying, oh, this guy, you know, is going to push for time immediately. He was a guy that you're kind of like, you know, he's got some value. He can probably play in the slot, but you figured Kendall Fuller, you know, he didn't clearly unseat Kendall Fuller or anything like that in training camp. What have you made of his performance though? Because he's had some key breakups, and he seems to really, you know, it takes rookies some time to settle in, but he seems to really be finding a groove, you know, and being a dude out there right now.
He has he's been impressive in the time there, and he's grown each week to where, I mean, there was one play when I put it on the tweeter. He had really good backpedal, and athletically he was smooth with his quarter turn and then being able to accelerate. I mean, he looked really good on some of those, and he showed some athletic ability that I was actually really impressed with, like especially on some of those deep passes and his interception, which Frank Clark rushed Rivers out of the pocket, and then Rivers chucked it up, and Fenton was trailing, but he caught up to it and intercepted that one, and then he kind of helped on the Williams one when there's about 50 seconds left, and he was covering his guy, but once that football left, he saw that he was going to go over there and help, and he went over there and helped over top, and he was kind of the guy, if I remember correctly, that touched Williams. Ward may have two, but I know
Ward's the one who pushed him down on that long play toward
but
the end.
Fenton was in the spot to where if he needed to help out, he was there to help, and he didn't just, you know, leave his assignment or anything. Like once that ball was gone, then he knew he could go do that. So it was an impressive play on his part. He's doing a good job.
And what about the other big offseason acquisition, Tyrann Mathieu? I mean, has he been worth $14 million a year?
This game, I mean, he did a good job in run support, and I mean, he obviously had the interception, almost had the other interception. I mean,
probably should have had the other interception.
Well, you know what? I'm trying to move forward from it, and I'm sure he is too.
Well, they won the game, so.
But I mean, overall, him and Thornhill are a really good combination. They have good versatility together to where I like what they bring athletically. So, and I'm curious to see long term, whenever they get the cornerback position more stabilized down the road, how much more they can utilize him in different ways to really kind of shine. Right now, they're kind of having to use him in ways to where he kind of helps keep them afloat in some regards. And I'm curious athletically when they give him some opportunities, like what he can,
like when they have linebackers
more.
Who he can doesn't have to cover for in the passing game.
I wasn't trying to throw people under the bus, but it's Todd Palmer.
Boom, boom, boom. Yeah, we're just gonna
Palmer
run that
here.
One right
My
over.
Goodness.
But so what is the identity of this team though? Then because that's I mean, you want, you know, your defense have, and we've talked about early on in the season they were just trying to figure things out. Then they became an attacking team against Green Bay, against Minnesota, you know, the week before against Denver, you know, in that three game series they got back to that a little bit. I thought this week, you know, which is what they had gotten away from in the Tennessee game, you know. So is that the identity of this defense? Do they have to be that attacking group? And is that, do you see them staying with that moving forward, or do you see them evolving that as they kind of churn the roster, admittedly, in the offseason?
Well, I think right now you got to focus on what can help you get to the Super Bowl this year. And that attacking style is what they're going to have to do. I mean, the bigger concern, though, is trying to get takeaways. They're still in the ballpark sack-wise, because they were first last year and they're sixth this year. But where the key, I think, is going to be if they can force more turnovers down the stretch here, because they had 27 last year that they forced. And then I think right now they're at 16. So you want to see that kind of rise over here to give the offense more possessions. So if they can figure out a way to start doing that, I think that's going to go a long way. And that's going to be really crucial. If they make it to the playoffs and get there, they're really going to need to force turnovers, take away those possessions from the other team, and give the Chiefs offense more chances.
Are there, you know, you talked about the turnover numbers, you talked about, you know, the sack numbers. Where else do you see this team either having improved or dropped off a little bit from last year?
I think from a improvement perspective, they really shined in their red zone defense this past Monday night against the Chargers.
They've done that a lot. They've been, you hate to use the term bend, don't break, but we've seen a lot of times where that's exactly what they do. They end up forcing field goal tries.
And if they can do that, I mean that's half the battle that they need. They don't just get dominated at will like they did last year, and that's been good to see overall. I know people have been frustrated while this defense has been building up, but my personal thing is right now, if you don't get this is where I think it kind of where it's going to have to continue to get better is if you don't give up a ton in the run game, you force them to become one-dimensional, you get after the quarterback with a fresh rotation on a regular basis, and you force turnovers when you can outside, you know, whenever. And then on top of that, if you have a strong red zone defense that, like you said, forces them into field goals, I think that's going to be the winning recipe for what this defense is capable this year.
Does the offense need to pick up some slack, though? Because
they're going to, yes.
You know, in the red zone, they've been settling for field goals a lot more this year. You know, and you did some research and feel like you found an interesting reason for why the red zone offense may be struggling this year for the old Kansas City Chiefs.
All right, so in 2018, what at this time last year, what it was Kareem Hunt had 11 of the touchdowns inside the 20. That was Kareem.
Yeah, so won a game, essentially. He was good for one red zone touchdown a game last year.
I thought we established a long time ago that I am not a numbers cruncher. So
I'm just saying that this
I'm giving you. I'm giving you the overall number, Todd, okay?
Well, 11 in 11 games, I will let you know, is one per game.
I've already shut down as soon as you said more than one word. Or, well, not word, number. But then Kelsey had five. Hill had five. So those were kind of your key contributors. For Kareem, he had seven rushing, four receiving.
Yeah.
But he was kind of that go-to guy whenever we get inside the 20, 25 range. And I was doing this based off 20 yards, but there were some that were a little outside of it that still they were able to do it with him. That's really where he kind of really made a difference and opened a lot of things up for other people. Those were kind of the three key contributors in that regard. Then whenever they lost him last year in those final games, Damien Williams ended up having six. So they went with some of the plays they'd ran with Kareem, and it still effectively worked. Then Kelsey had three. And then after that, everybody had maybe one or two tops. Yeah. But you saw the difference in terms of that overall, in terms of what defenses would do. Now this year, Damien Williams has had five. McCoy's had three. Hill's had two. So from a running back perspective last year, they had 16 total from the TDs from the running backs. This year they've only had six. So they've lost 10 TDs in production that they'd essentially had last year. So in terms of passing TDs in 2019, this year they've had seven. Last year at this time they had 37.
Yeah.
So I mean, it just, and what I'm trying to show here is the threat of Kareem in the flats and him rushing opened up some more opportunities, like you and I have talked about privately, that Patrick had windows to be able to make things happen. Now people can say, well, offensive line hasn't been the same. You don't have Mitch Morris. You didn't have Eric Fisher, and you're right, you didn't have that help. But I still believe that if you had a running back that had some of that skill set, not necessarily Kareem, but a running back with that type of skill set, I believe that takes a lot of pressure off of the offensive line having to be perfect in a lot of regards. So I think that's kind of really one of the big things going forward down this stretch is they got to figure out a way to have a bigger threat at the running back position to create that type of production to open things up for everybody else.
Spoiler alert, we may revisit this conversation in the C block.
Okay.
But for now, we're going to take a quick break and come back and keep talking Chiefs bye week here on 4th and 1.
home of the Chiefs. You give the kingdom what they want. Shows that go inside the locker room and get up close and personal. Any closer, and you'd need a helmet and a chin strap. Exclusive insight from the man who bleeds Chiefs red. A weekly podcast that's second to none. It's starting next year. The preseason games play here. 41 Action News, Kansas City's home of the Chiefs.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. Nick, we were just talking about the running back situation. Is that an area that they needs to... Is that one of the key areas that needs to improve for them to actually be playoff contenders? Because, they're going to be in the hunt. I'm still assuming that they're going to win the AFC West until Oakland can actually beat them. I'm going to assume that the Chiefs are the favorites. I'm going to assume that the Chiefs are going to get into that dance. They're going to have a chance. But for them to beat a red-hot Baltimore team or dethrone the Patriots or something like that, what needs to happen between now and then for you to feel comfortable that the Chiefs have a chance to make that Super Bowl?
On offense, they're really going to have to start honing in on enhancing that run game. Because the thing I've watched from the Patriots, that's one of the ways you can actually beat the Patriots. And you're going to have a counter for the Ravens and the Texans down the road here to where you're going to have to be able to play ball control in some regards so that your defense gets some time and some rest. Just like the Chiefs had a practice on Monday night against the Chargers and did a good job at times with that. So they're going to have to figure that out, how to sustain more drives, how to use the run game effectively. And then when they get in the red zone, and this isn't just from this past game, but overall, they really got to figure out a way to be more effective and to be able to take advantage of all those opportunities. Now, part of that's going to be everybody just needs to be healthy, but another part, you're going to need Tyreek on the field, obviously, because he didn't have him a lot this year, and the numbers showed. But they just got to start finding answers to be able to stop kicking field goals and score touchdowns.
It's weird to say, because when you look at I think people are becoming a little bit disappointed with this offense, but when you look at some of the numbers, like quarterback rating, things like that, touchdown interception ratio, that kind of thing. I mean, Mahomes is actually better than he was last year in some regard.
Well, and the thing is, they're averaging, right, this year they're averaging 28 points a game, and then last year they were at 35.3. Yeah. So, you're losing a touchdown a game, but the thing that's making it kind of unique is, when you look at them where they're at right now, they're at 23 receiving touchdowns, 9 rushing. But last year, for the entire year, they were at 50 receiving and 16 rushing. So, they're more explosive outside the red zone a little bit this year because of their ability with the speed and everything.
Mecole Hardman's made a big difference
in
that
respect. So, they're more explosive outside that. It's just right now, I think the big thing they're going to have to tackle deciding in this bye week and going forward is how do we become more effective inside that 20 so we can match that production? Because, right now they're at 308 points total for the year. Then last year they were 565. So, they're second this year, first last year. So, you're nitpicking, but you're having to do those because that's what you're going to have to do to get to the Super Bowl.
Well, and obviously Kareem brought some big playability, and Mecole Hardman's been able to replace that with what he can do, particularly after the catch. But yeah, we talked about earlier, like we talked about now, they have not figured out how to replace what Kareem Hunt did in third down, third and short, fourth and short. Right. You talk about wanting to, the Chiefs getting predictable with screens on short yardage situations. Well, part of that's because they clearly don't trust Darrell Williams, Damian Williams, LeSean McCoy, whoever it may be, to just line. They can't use them the same way they could threaten a defense with Kareem Hunt in those situations, and so it results in matchups that are probably a little bit less favorable on the edges than you were getting last year. And sometimes the defense wins. Last year, the dual threat that Kareem Hunt presented, especially, before he got kicked off the team, made defenses have to make a lot tougher decisions at times.
Yeah, and it's you kind of wish that they had been able to find a player that could have given you some of that production in the offseason or around training camp, and you're just kind of hoping that isn't what makes the difference. Because I will say defensively, when you're looking at them, the impressive thing with the defense is, if you're looking at DVOA, but the Football Outsiders does, it takes everything overall collectively as a defense, not just, hey, they're 31 against the run, you know, yeah. this and that. When you take it collectively, last year the Chiefs defense, they ranked them 26. This year they're 12th. And everything we talked about all offseason is we want them to be in the top 15 overall in terms of statistics.
I mean, honestly, this defense has not been as bad as I think a lot of people. I mean, you can point right. to some games where they've been terrible. Yes, they were awful in the second half against Derrick Henry and the Texans, and it cost them. But you can point to lots of games last year where the Chiefs' offense covered up for the defense because mm-hmm. they were historically good. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot more games this year where the Chiefs' defense has covered up for the offense having its issues. I mean, the Chargers game is a perfect example. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of people, you know, that look at the Phillip Rivers had 353 yards, and you know, and they had 312 yards in the first half of that game, and those kind of things. But the reality is, the defense won that game last week. I mean, the defense deserves the credit for that win, in my opinion, down in Mexico City. And there were not that many games last year where you could say that. I think the defense has improved. I think in some respect it's marginal. And I think that there are some games that have kind of blown that, blown some of those averages out a little bit. And so I don't know that you necessarily see it. But I think if you're paying attention, the flaws are obvious, but the improvement should be too.
Exactly, and I think for the offense, the two key points that I think we're really going after is, how do you be more productive in the red zone from here on out? And then on top of that, how do you keep sustaining more drives
yeah.
so that the defense gets the rest, so they can be even, you know, so they're not tired when that fourth quarter rolls around like they were in New England AFC Championship last year, or certain times during this season. Yeah. Those are the things that as an offense they got to figure out answers for, because if they do, they can find themselves in the AFC Championship game again without a problem, but they're going to have to find those answers offensively.
So how do they stack up with the other teams, though? I still, even if you beat New England, I'm still not convinced that New England comes all the way back to a four-loss team and gives up that. I mean,
I think it's going to be really tough.
I think New England's going to get the one or the two seed. Now, mm-hmm. if the Chiefs beat them, you know, the Ravens are still right there and could leapfrog them for the number one overall seed. But I think the Chiefs' hopes for that are out. I think if the Chiefs, and honestly, I'm not with the Ravens beating up the Texans the way that they did, I'm not sure that I see the Ravens coming all the way back to where that tiebreaker from September would matter either. Does it matter that the Chiefs are probably going to have to play that extra wild card weekend game?
It depending on what
do you agree with my assessment too in terms of the way it's stacking up right now?
The way I kind of see it, the way it's working out right now, is I do think the Patriots are going to end up being the one, and I think that's going to the road's going to run through Foxborough for the Super Bowl. But I will say right now, the way it looks like you can beat the Patriots is by being able to run the football. And I'm not just talking about Ravens. I've watched every one of their games. That's going to be kind of the key, is building up that run game to be able to match that, to be able to do that. Now,
and they've got some issues on offense there in New England too.
Yeah, so. And receiver-wise, they're hurt all over the board. Sanu's had some issues, Edelman. So, I mean, their health at receiver is going to be that's why they're going to need that bye, to be able to get those guys to that point to where they can compete.
Yeah.
And with the Ravens, the Ravens are going to have an interesting 3 weeks, and we'll find out a lot about them as they go on their quest here the next 3 weeks against the Rams and 49ers, and I can't remember the final team, but I know it's a legitimately good team. I'll look it up in a minute. But the Ravens are a team that I think could stumble, and I think the Chiefs could maybe. Chiefs are going to have to win out. That's what's going to have to happen and they're going to need the Ravens to stumble a couple times. So, I mean, the two seed could be there, but the Chiefs are really going to have to play really, really good, perfect football.
I mean, you know, it's hard to look at the Rams, and they're not the same team as last year. The Niners, and then maybe the Buffalo Bills, who are still going to be in that chase with mm-hmm. with New England.
And
maybe
I think that's who the Rams.
Yeah, that's who they play okay. the next week. So, I mean, they do have a tough series coming up. You know, Buffalo's kind of lying in the weeds. Nobody's really talking about them, but they've got a good defense, and they've got a formula that can win
right.
in the playoffs, I think. I don't think they're going to be an easy out for whoever, you know, they end up facing, because I think they're going to be in the playoffs when yeah. it's all said and done, too. So what are your expectations for the final 6 weeks, then, for the Chiefs? Can they win out? Because I think that's a tough ask. They've mm-hmm. obviously got 5 weeks because they got a bye here, but can they win those last five games?
Well, I think the Raiders won. They're going to have to win decisively for people to start to feel comfortable again. Then I think the Patriots is going to be a big tell for a lot of people about how they attack it. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see how Belichick and Andy, what plays they're willing to call, what they're willing to do. And are you willing to sacrifice not going for some of the big plays to save them if you have to play them again? So I think that's going to be an interesting matchup there.
If the Chiefs beat the Raiders,
yeah.
Okay, let's just assume that the Chiefs have beat the Raiders. They're in control of the AFC West. Who has more to gain by winning that game? Who needs the victory in Foxborough more? Is it the Chiefs because they want to keep margin for error in the division race, or is it the Patriots because they want to keep margin for error in the race for the number one seed?
I think it's Chiefs are going to need it more because of their loss to the Titans. If the Chiefs beat the Titans, I think they would have a little bit room for error overall. But I think because of that, I think that's a game that the Chiefs are really going to have to – they're going to need win-wise to be able to potentially get to a two seed and to have a tiebreaker if something were to happen against the Patriots. So I think there's more for Kansas City to gain. But I think it's going to be – I'm going to be curious watching that day. It doesn't matter if they win or lose. I'm just going to be curious how each side calls their plays and what they hold back.
Well, that's why I asked, though, because that makes me think that maybe Andy Reid will be a little bit more aggressive in that matchup if he feels like they need to get that win for their playoff chances.
I'm just very curious to see how the two of them, Belichick and him, handle it. I'm very curious.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then what are we doing in the C block?
Check tweet.
There we go. All right.
When you're the home of the Chiefs, you give the kingdom what they want. Shows that go inside the locker room and get up close and personal. Any closer, and you'd need a helmet and a chin strap. Exclusive insight from the man who bleeds Chiefs Red, a weekly podcast that's second to none. And starting next year, the preseason games play here. 41 Action News, Kansas City's home of the Chiefs.
Welcome back to 4th and 1 as we wrap up this bye week edition. Gonna get right into it. We're gonna answer your questions as we always do in the C block here. We're gonna check the tweets.
Check tweets.
There we go. Hey, okay, I'll start off this week. Nick Jacobs, Devin Gilliland at Devin Gill 17 on the old Twitter deck.
You just say his name. It's fine.
There you go. He wants to know. I know it isn't a priority, but if you were the Chiefs GM and Andy, where is your priority on a running back? Are you going to spend money in free agency or go for it early in the draft in the offseason?
I think overall, you're going to need to improve that position. You're going to have to – I think you're going to need to get multiple running backs to put with Darrell Williams, and depending what you decide with McCoy and Damien Williams. But, I mean, I think you're going to need to –
You keeping Darwin Thompson?
Yeah, of course you're going to keep him. He'll be a part of the process, but I think you really want to. I think you'll get a lot of answers here in the next 7 weeks. But I would definitely add two running backs to the position next year, whether it's one through draft, one through free agency, or whatever, and just let them all compete.
Is the Chiefs starting running back next year on the roster right now?
Based on what I've seen, I hope not, but we'll see.
Could have kept Carlos Hyde.
Carlos Hyde wasn't running the same way that he is now. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Next one's going to be for you from Trent. He's going to ask, do you think Andy's running a more conservative offense this year because he's learned to save his special cards for the playoffs?
No, actually, I don't. I think he's been a little bit more conservative this year because Pat Mahomes has literally been injured since week one when he sprained his ankle against the Jaguars, and he knows that without Pat, all hope is lost.
All right.
Abandon hope all you winter.
All right. What's our final one, Todd?
All right, here we go. Wesley Vreeland, who he's probably related to Vashad Vreeland.
Okay.
Wants to know, what is your ideal starting offensive line and defensive line with this team on the current roster. And I would say, give me more of a two deep on the defense, please.
Okay. Anarchy here. I'm just going to do it my way. I'm not going to give in to your demands. Defensive line, I think the way that it's going to, you're going to need it to work overall is I think you're actually just going to need to keep Chris Jones, rotate him around at different spots, I think you'd have more as an defensive end on some of the rundowns, but rotate him in with Pass and Yo in some regard. I actually, at some points there, I feel more comfortable having Clark, Frank Clark. I think you need to kind of rotate him and Pass and Yo to both defensive end spots and run. Defensive tackles and run, I think, really needs to be Derek, Nottie, and Pinnell. Rotate Saunders in to help out in some spots. And then from a pass rush perspective, I think you're really, really effective when you have Pass and Yo and Jones inside. And then you have Clark on the outside. And then you rotate, depending on how you want to rotate Jones, you could rotate him outside and then have Saunders rotate in. But I think they have a lot of different options that they can do edge rusher wise, and we'll see what Harris can do and when Okafor comes back, because Okafor is a good pass rusher for him. He just struggles and runs in the run defense.
Well, and the other thing is, Chris Jones had a lot of sacks last year, but he does a good job of collapsing the pocket from the interior. He's a good inside pass rusher, and so in that way, he's a good complement to Frank Clark. And
right,
like you talk about, you go back and just watch the tape on the game clinching interception Daniel Sorensen had. It's Frank Clark coming around the edge on the right side, forcing Rivers to step up, but Rivers can't step all the way up because Chris Jones is there. And that's that combination. They didn't get a sack on that play, but the combination of Frank Clark and Chris Jones set Daniel Sorensen up for success.
Right. So, and then on your offensive line, I mean, look, the offensive line you saw this week is what you're going to see. I mean, that's what you're going to see. So you're going to see Fisher, Wiley, Ryder, LDT, Duvernay, Tardif, and Schwartz. That's what you're going to see.
But what would be your ideal?
Well, my ideal offensive line would be...
You just swap out Wisniewski for LDT?
No, actually not. Fisher's at left tackle, left guard. I would have Wisniewski, Ryder at center, Wiley at right guard, and then Schwartz at right tackle. Like, that's an interior that I think can get you some of those power runs that you're looking for, and I think they could be really effective in red zone.
So to be clear, you're down on Cam Irving?
I think Cam Irving is I think he could be an athletic guard for him, and he actually didn't do. He was solid as a left guard.
Yeah.
I mean, Wiley and Wisniewski can knock people off the ball, and when you do doubles with those guys, especially their tackles, they really knock people off the ball, and they both help Ryder if they have to do doubles with him.
Yeah. All right. Hey, anything else? What are your big bye week plans? How are you going to spend, the extra time next week when you don't have to do film study?
I'm going to spend it watching a lot of Raiders.
So you're still going to do film study?
Yeah. Never stops, Todd.
All right. Well, nonstop party, Nick Jacobs. Say goodbye to the good people of podcast land.
Until next time, I bid you adieu.
I wanted to say something about the elf picture.
Oh, yeah, no, okay, I'll tell you this stuff in advance, folks. You can keep tabs on Twitter because it'll probably be entirely too public, but Todd, there's an original idea that Angie Horner in Sky Center helped me come up with that Todd and I could potentially do for all of you. A little treat is a nice little happy holidays thing.
That's right, from us to you.
But Todd is trying to take it to ridiculous levels, and I've helped inform him that that'll never ever happen. So we're gonna try to find a happy medium, and I hope you are excited and look forward to it. It does not include anything Matt Castle for the one gentleman that always tweets us about Matt Castle. But it'll be interesting to see if there's a certain line I'm willing to go with this idea. But unfortunately, Todd is about 5 miles past that line right now. So we're gonna see if we can bring Todd back here to make this dream a reality. Or if it just stays a dream in his mind.
I think I'm going to steer the train off the tracks, but it's still going to be awesome.
Fine, we'll tell.
All right. See you, kids.
All right. Time's yours.